لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم واشكروا لله إن كنتم إياه تعبدون صدق الله العظيم وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سم الله وكل بيمينك وكل مما يليك أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected brothers and elders, firstly I greet you with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Peace and salutations be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has blessed us with iman. And all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has once again blessed us with this beautiful and wonderful day of Jumu'ah. Time and time again we remind ourselves of the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said regarding the day of Jumu'ah, خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسُ يَوْمُ الْجُمُعَةِ. The best day in which the sun can rise is the wonderful day of Jumu'ah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instill within our hearts the respect and honor for this blessed day of Jumu'ah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to send abundant durood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to make as much dua as is possible on this day of Jumu'ah. Because definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept a moment in this day wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond to the request of any individual made to him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us in this world. And often we refer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Ar-Razzaq, the sustainer of mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed is our creator and our sustainer. The greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, Allah has put us in this world, and Allah is our ultimate provider. When we look at the system of man, the human mind will tell you that you made effort, you acquired some money, you went and purchased your food or your groceries, and through your effort, you cooked your food and you ate it and you consumed it. That's what the human intellect and the human mind will tell you. But when we look into our deen and when we look at the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being as Ar-Razzaq, then we come to the conclusion that put our effort aside, it was nothing but the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is the one that ultimately provided for us. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala solely alone who is the provider of mankind. Man with his effort can do absolutely nothing. The best a man can do is for him to take that seed and put it into the ground, water it and nurture it and do as much as he can. But if Allah, the sustainer, does not will for that seed to split in the ground and for the tree to grow or for that fruit to come out from the ground, it will never ever happen. Man's effort will always be incomplete and it will stop at a certain extent. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sifat of being Ar-Razzaq will always come to play because it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is the true sustainer of mankind. Allah speaks about this in the Quran where He says, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. That there is not a single living thing on this earth except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider and the nourisher of that creation of His. So whether it be insan, whether it be the animals, whether it be the fish in the sea, whether it be the plants, whatever it is on this earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sole and only provider of that. Now when it comes to us as human beings, Allah has made our system such that we live in this world and we consume food, that food nourishes our body, gives us energy for us to conduct ourselves and live in this world. But it's not just a simple baseless process of us consuming food. When we look at the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the perfection of our deen, we will find that in our deen we have a thing called adabu ta'am, and that is the etiquettes of eating food. So a non-Muslim will eat, a Muslim will eat, both will consume sometimes the same food and the same quantity of food, but there's a world of difference between a non-Muslim partaking of a meal and nourishing his body and a Muslim doing so. There's worlds of difference, the two can never ever be compared. Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us that first and foremost, when food is presented to a person, what should a person do? Obviously, the etiquette is that a person should wash his hands and his hands should be clean before he partakes of the meal. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam's first advice is Sammillah. Take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you consume your food. Why do you take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It is because it is none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that provided that meal for you. Have we ever sat back and thought for a moment and looked at the food presented to us on a daily basis and thought of how much of effort was put into that food for it to reach you? Have we really thought and ever pondered about what is the true cost of that meal that is put in front of us, no matter what the meal may be? How much of effort, how much of logistics, how much of effort was put behind that food reaching you in the stage that it reached you? When we look at a simple thing, curry and rice, which is more of an Indian delicacy, or take whatever food you want, sit and look at that food and think for a second, where did it come from? Where did it start from? How many processes it went through? How many channels it passed? How much of transport was involved? How much of human effort was involved? How many processes it went through for it to reach you? And then you'll come to the conclusion that it was none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy that enabled that food to reach you. That is why you take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you consume that food. Because just think back for a moment, had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left the entire process to us, would we have been able to accomplish it? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that we had to go and really manufacture that food from the first stage right up to the last stage and then consume it, would it have been possible for us? Our whole lives would have came out in only preparing that food. Then again, if we have to really look at the cost factors, now sometimes it might seem expensive to us that we have paid 100 rand or a certain amount of money for so many kilos of this and so many kilos of that. But sit and think at what is the actual cost of that? How much of cost it went through for it to reach you? It's none but the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that food reaches us. That is why we take Allah's name, Sammillah. Take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before consuming your meal to show your dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your reliance and your tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That it was only through His mercy and through His special arrangement that food reached you in the condition that it reached you. One person put it very nicely. He gave an entire talk and a lecture on rizq, and he titled it, that is your rizq something which is obtained or something which is ordained? There's a big difference between the two. Is it something that you have obtained or is it something that has been ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So same with our food and with our meals. Now we think we have bought all the groceries, the wife sat and prepared it in the kitchen and now it has been put on the table. But is it just such a simple process or was there so much more effort put behind it? There was definitely much more effort put behind it, and that is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the dua that we recite before we consume our meal is Bismillahi wa ala barakatillah, or Bismillahi rahmanir rahim. In the name of Allah and upon the blessings and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or in the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. So that is the first thing we do when food is presented to us. We think about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then we consume our food. And when we eat our food, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the second advice, وَكُلْ بِيَمِينِكَ. A person should eat with his right hand. Now as far as possible, a person supposed to eat with his fingers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for him. Now when it comes to the other delicacies of life, and when it comes to the soup, and when it comes to the halim and all these sort of things, then sometimes we might require assistance of a spoon for us to consume our meal. As far as possible, we eat with our fingers, but if it's necessary and if it's that sort of dish, then we can utilize these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided. But you ask the steak connoisseur, he'll tell you that for you to eat your steak, the fork must be in your left hand. Now we don't agree with that in any way. Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's statement is kul bi yaminik. We have to eat with our right hand. So no matter what the occasion, no matter what the scenario, no matter what the dish is, we will always eat with our right hand. Except in the case where a person injures his hand or he has some extreme difficulty. What's the danger of not following the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? A simple thing like eating with our right hand. There was one person who came in the gathering of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he began eating with his left hand. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kul bi yameenik, eat with your right hand. So the man arrogantly looks at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, La astata'tu, I can't. Now this man was a hypocrite in the guise of a Muslim, and he makes the statement blatantly and he says that I can't do it. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uses a similar word but a vast difference in the meaning, that La astata'ta, may you never be able to do it. The Sahaba mentioned that from that day till the day the man left this world, he could never lift his right hand to his mouth because of the statement of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then the commentators of hadith mention that what was the reason for the man not using his right hand? Ma mana'ahu illa al-kibr. It's not that the man broke his hand or it was in a cast. The only thing that was stopping him from eating with his right hand is pride and arrogance. That was the only thing. That I don't care, I'll eat with what hand I want to. Who are you to tell me what to do? So when we eat with our right hand. And just coming back again to the dua that we recite before meals, how important it is. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sitting with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. A person came and food was presented, so everybody was partaking of meals. So someone entered the gathering and he sat down and he began eating. But he did not take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name at the beginning of his meal. And he began consuming and he began consuming. Now here again, how perfect the teachings of our deen. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِن نَسِيَ أَحَدُكُمْ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهِ. If a person forgets to take Allah's name at the beginning of his meal, then whether it be in the middle of his meal or at the end of his meal, he should recite the dua, Bismillahi awwalahu wa akhira, in the name of Allah, from the very beginning of this meal, right up till the last morsel that entered my system. So that is another thing that we can learn. If a person forgets to recite the dua before eating, this is what he can do as soon as he remembers it or after he has eaten. So this man began eating and eating, and the hadith says when he had the last morsel of food left, then the man remembered, I did not take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name from the beginning. So he said, Bismillahi awwalahu wa akhira. In the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the very beginning of this meal right up to the end of this meal. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laughed and he smiled. So the Sahaba looked at him and he said that, O Nabi of Allah, why have you smiled and you laughed? He said, مَا زَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ يَأْكُلُ مَعَهُ حَتَّى ذَكَرَ اللَّهِ فَإِذَا ذَكَرَ اللَّهِ اسْتَقَاءَ مَا فِي بَطْنِهِ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as long as this man was eating, he had a partner in his food. Who was that partner? Shaytan. Shaitan was consuming the meal with him and enjoying the meal with him. But the moment he took Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, that in the name of Allah, from the very beginning of this meal right up to the end of this meal, Shaitan became so upset at the statement that he literally vomited and spewed out whatever he had consumed. Now it's a very, very important thing for us to think about, that when we do not take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name and we partaking of our meals, we have an unexpected and uninvited guest and visitor in that same meal. And who is that unexpected guest and visitor? None but Shaitan. Now if Shaitan is eating with you, the question begs to be asked that will there really be barakah in that food, and will that food truly nourish you the way it's supposed to and bring out the best in you? It's a question that we need to look at. Now sometimes we get caught up in the moment, or we get caught up in the environment around us, and sometimes we do not take the name of Allah when we eat in our food, or we take it for granted that it's just there, the food is there, we're very hungry, we don't even have time to think. You know they say, a hungry man is an angry man. So the moment the food comes, we're not thinking, we're not looking left, we're not looking right, we're just busy with the meal. Fair enough, but take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name. These are simple things which sometimes we don't practice in our life, and sometimes we don't tend to these things, but we look at the repercussions that we're facing on a daily basis because of this. Another simple example of that is when a person enters his house. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if a person enters his home and he does not make salam, so right behind him as he's opening his door and entering his house is Shaitan and a whole group of his followers. So if he doesn't make salam, Shaitan announces to his followers, come boys, we have accommodation for tonight, let's make ourselves as comfortable as is possible. But the moment a person enters his home and he makes salam, Shaitan turns around and tells all his followers that there's no accommodation and no booking for us here tonight, we got to make alternate arrangements, there's no place for us. And the same hadith includes this part of a person not taking the name of Allah. When you do not take the name of Allah, Shaitan tells all his followers, come boys, there's a free chow, let's make the best of it. But the moment you take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, he says, let's make alternate arrangements. There's no share for us in this meal. So very, very important things that we need to think of. One is we need to practice on it. The other is we need to make sure our family members do the same. Because I'm sure nobody wants Shaitan to partake of a meal with him. Neither does any single person want to house Shaitan in his home and give him accommodation. We don't have time for that. We don't need that in our life. But sometimes it's the simple things that we don't practice on, and we don't realize Shaitan is staying with us in our homes, he's eating with us, and then we wonder why the problems are all there in society and why things are not going the way they're supposed to. But these are simple, simple things that we can put into our life, and inshallah this will make a very big difference in our life. Because we don't want to be in the company of Shaitan, neither do we want him anywhere near us. We want to be in the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to be in the company of the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should eat, take the name of Allah, and then eat with our right hand. And then the third advice, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَقُلْ مِمَّا يَلِيكَ. And a person should always eat of what is close to him. Now this is when one dish is served, one dish of a particular thing. Now ideally one plate supposed to be down and everybody is supposed to be partaking from that. But today, you know, we have a much more professional system, so the dishing out bowl is there and everybody dishes out in his plate. But even if you're dishing out in your plate, whatever you have, if it's one particular item of food, then you should eat from that which is closest to you, meaning you're not supposed to eat from the middle of the food, because that is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's barakah is descending, and that food is going to nourish you in more ways than you can think. That's why at the beginning I said it and I'll keep repeating the statement, there's a world of difference between a person who does not believe in Allah, him consuming his food, and a person who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, him consuming his food. There's a world of difference between the two. Both can eat the same thing and the same amount, but you can never ever compare the two, because this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his perfect system for that slave of his who believes in him, and that's rope for another individual who refuses to acknowledge the one who has provided for him and the one who has created him. So we should eat from that which is closest to us. But if there's a variety of food on that plate, then for us to eat from the different varieties that are there, it's fine. You will not be going against this hadith where you're not eating from that which is closest to you. And then a very, very important sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Two things, two sunnahs that unfortunately today you won't really see it in a hurry in society, or sometimes it is something that is looked down upon. Number one is when a person finish eat his food, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَلَا يَمْسَحُ أَحَدُكُمْ أَصَابِعَهُ حَتَّى يَلْعَقَهُ. A person should not wash his hands after consuming his food until he has licked his fingers. That means until he has taken his fingers and licked whatever food is on it. Now if you go into the professional world and the professional society of today, where people are now suddenly very, very clean and they're very upright and they're very professional, then they'll tell you that that's dirty. How can you lick your fingers? I mean, it's against etiquette. Who are they to teach us etiquette? Who brought etiquette into this world? Who taught man what is good and what is not? Who taught man what is pure and what is not? None but Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. None but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer and the creator of mankind. There's nothing more perfect than the ways of our deen, and there's no way of life more perfect than the way of life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the non-Muslim can look at that and say that, how can you be so unethical and lick your fingers? But we'll tell him, you don't know what it is in life. Firstly, to eat with your hands, this is the teachings of our deen. But today, we live in the 21st century, so today the intelligent people of this world will tell you that it's better that you eat with your hand than you eat with the help of a fork or knife. Because by you eating with your hand, there's much more benefit for you, for your digestive system, and for a whole lot of other reasons. But we don't rely on them for them to tell us what is good. We don't rely on modern science and the intelligent people of this world to prove to us the greatness of our deen. If it comes by the way, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is only Allah who knows what is perfect and what is good. But we don't rely on that, and we don't use that as a base that now we should do it. You know why? Because even science tells you the same thing. We do it because it is the teachings of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a person should lick his fingers. And that's something that we always need to bring into our life. Now let's take a modern day scenario. We're in a posh and expensive restaurant in the company of very elite guests. Do we really think about these simple sunnahs of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Will a person lick his fingers before eating it? Or will he keep his hand away, like, you know, there's like real dirt on it? Is that dirt, or is that the rizq and the sustenance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided solely and only for you? So much of effort has been put into what is even left on your fingers. So we should practice upon the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then a very important sunnah, another one, is that when a piece of food falls to the ground. Now again, let's take the normal everyday scenario or the modern day scenario. Again, you're in the company of these elite guests and you're in a very posh restaurant, and a wonderful meal has been served and placed in front of you, and a piece of food falls to the ground. So one of two things will happen. One is a person will just ignore it, that it fell on the ground, it's dirty, how can I pick it up? It's against respect, it's against mannerism, it's against so-called etiquette. The reason why so-called, because it definitely can't be real etiquette and real mannerism. Because if you look again at the amount of effort that has been put in that food, and the divine system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that food to reach you, that food supposed to be, is worth more than gold. That food needs to be respected to the highest of degrees. So like how if a piece of diamond falls to the ground, you won't say it's dirty, I won't touch it. Immediately you'll pick it up. If your money falls to the ground, you won't say it's dirty, I'm not going to pick it up. Same time you'll pick it up and put it back in your pocket, because you know the value of that. Do we really know the value of every meal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for each and every one of us? So the modern day scenario, one scenario is that a person will leave it on the floor, it's dirty. The other scenario, a person will say, no, it fell down, let's pick it up, but it's dirty, we can't eat it. So pick it up and put it one side. One of these two things will happen in most instances. We're not saying in all, but in most instances, this is one of the two things that will happen. What is the advice of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in regards to this? إِذَا سَقَطَتْ رُكْمَةُ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلْيُمِتْ مَا كَانَ بِهَا مِنَ الْأَذَىٰ. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if a portion of your food, or if a piece of your food falls to the ground, then naturally it's going to become dirty. The floor is not clean. But what does Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says? فَلْيُمِتْ مَا كَانَ بِهَا مِنَ الْأَذَىٰ. You need to wipe off whatever dirt has accumulated on that food, if dirt has come upon it. وَلْيَأْكُلْهَا. And eat that food. It's part of the sustenance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has divinely arranged for you and only you. And then Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَلَا يَدَعْهَا لِلشَّيْطَانِ. Don't wipe it, keep it aside, and don't pick it up and say it's dirty and leave it aside, because if you do that, again you're leaving it for shaitan. That's leftovers for him. And فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَدْرِي فِي أَيِّ طَعَامِكُمُ الْبَرَكَةِ. You don't know in which morsel of food has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept the true barakah that is going to sustain you, nourish you, and satiate your hunger. Now how often we eat in but we're not getting full? Or we eat in but we're not really seeing the benefit of what we eat in? Because many a times we losing out on the main barakah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put. If that food fell on the floor and that was the morsel that was going to truly nourish you and truly be barakah in your life, and you shunned it, what else do you expect? People eat and they don't get full. People are eating but they're not really satisfied. It's simple things that we need to bring in our life that will make a vast difference. Simple things, sometimes things we take for granted. Now we look back on our lives, 25 years, 30 years, 35 years, an average of 3 meals a day, and for South African community and South African Muslims and all the people that are part of South Africa right now, we know how it is with food. Many a times when we get guests from overseas and from the various visiting countries, they are amazed by how often we eat and how much we eat at a time. When they look at the spreads that are put in our, on our table, they become shocked. But this is the fazl and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Allah's mercy upon us. We should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Him blessing us to such an extent. You know, there was one person, South African person, he went to the Hakim for some treatment. So the Hakim gave him tablets, and the person asked the question, he said, Hakim sahab, must I take these tablets before meals or after meals? So he said, no, you are South African Muslim, for you any time is fine, because at all times there's food in the stomach. That before meals and after meals is in a society where sometimes they eat only once a day or twice a day. But you South African, any time you take the tablet it's fine, because there's always reserve stocks there. So the simple sunnahs of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we look at the beautiful incident of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu that really stands out for mankind till the day of Qiyamah, of what was the level of obedience and love that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had for Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once he was invited to the court of the Persians, and he was invited for a meal, and he was sitting on the floor partaking of the meal, and a piece of food fell on the ground. So the natural instinct of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, their lives were in accordance to the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went to pick up that piece of food that had fallen to the ground. So there was another Sahabi next to him, he nudged him and he said, oh Huzaifa, you're in the company of esteemed guests, professional people. I mean the Persians, the, you know, like a almost superpower of the time. Let's show some etiquette. I mean if you're going to pick that up, you're one of the leaders of the Muslims, it's not going to look very nice. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu turns around and looks at the Sahabi and he says, أَأَتْرُكُ سُنَّةُ حَبِيبِ لِهَا أُولَٰئِ الْحُمَقَى. You want me to leave the sunnah of my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam for these fools, for these so-called intelligent people? What do they know? Did they know better, or Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam knew better? I will never leave the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam for these people. He picks it up and he consumes that food, because this is in accordance to the teachings of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then again to look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and Allah's divine system. Look at the dua you recite after eating. What is the simple dua that most of us know? Alhamdulillahilladhi at'amana wa saqana waj'alana minal muslimin. What are you saying? All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At'amana, who fed us. Now I told you outwardly it might look like you earned the money, you purchased the groceries, and the food was cooked right in front of you. But who really fed you? Whose system was this? Whose arrangement was this? None but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who fed us. Because sometimes when you really look into the lives of people and when you look at the reality on the ground, the food is there, it has been prepared, all the arrangements has been made, but a person is sometimes sick. He's a diabetic, he has this complication, he has gout, he has some other complication. He can't eat that food. So whatever you consume, it is only Allah's mercy that He willed you to consume that food. وَسَقَانَا, it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given us that liquid to drink. Whether it be water, whether it be milkshake, whether it be cold drink, look at each one of these things and see the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're looking at that water, look at how it has come to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent it down. That water was kept pure, it was kept purified for you to consume it. You're consuming milk, look at the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that milk. Where did it come from? Did you go and physically milk the cow? Even in the cow, in the belly of that cow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the miracle of milk, and Allah says, مِن بَيْنِ فَرْثِ وَدَمِ اللَّبَنًا خَالِصًا. That on one side, look into the belly of that cow, you will find feces on one side, you will find red blood on the other side, and in between that Allah causes that pure white milk to flow. Is this not a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You so easily go and buy that can of cold drink and you open it and you satisfy your thirst on a very hot day. But look at that cold thing and look at the amount of effort that has been put in that for it to reach you, for it to satiate you, and for it to satisfy your thirst. Is this not the divine arrangement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's why again we'll keep on repeating the statement. There's a world of difference between a person who does not believe in Allah, him consuming his food, and there's a world of difference between a Muslim consuming his food. You can never ever equate the two. There's a vast difference between the two. And then look back on our lives, how many meals we have eaten, how many times we have partaken of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's divine arrangement. Are we truly grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every bit of sustenance that He provided for us from the day we came into this world right until now? Today is the day of Friday. You know, sometimes when you talk too much about food, people become hungry. On a lighter note, we should make shukr that it's not the month of Ramadan, because very soon we'll be partaking of meals. Others would have had a lot more hours to pull. But today is the day of Jumu'ah, and the general practice amongst people on this day is that after the Jumu'ah Salah, each one of us will be seated on the table waiting for that lunch to come to us. Look at that food and think about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every time that food is presented to you, take a moment to have with your Rabb and with your Creator, that, oh Allah, all these arrangements has been made exclusively for me. How can I ever thank you for these arrangements that you have made? How can I ever be truly grateful to you for what you have provided for me? Have a moment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name and fulfill the sunnahs of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to eating. To such an extent, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would pay tribute to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he would consume his food. We all aware of the normal dua, Alhamdulillah, الذي أطعمنا وسقانا وجعلنا من المسلمين. But there's another hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that tells us that when Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a person consumes his food and then he makes this dua, what a beautiful and special dua. Alhamdulillah الذي أطعمني هذا. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has granted me this particular meal to eat. وَرَزَقَنِيهِ, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has sustained me and nourished me. And look at the following words, مِنْ غَيْرِ حَوْلٍ وَلَا قُوَّةٍ مِنِّي, without any effort and toil on my part. Because as I mentioned in the beginning, imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left the entire process of food, of you preparing your food on your shoulders. If you had to be on that rice field, making the rice and getting, you know, taking out, I don't know what's the whole process, but if you had to be involved from the very beginning right till the time you consumed it, it would have been a tedious task indeed. It would have been impossible for you. But look at the words of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مِنْ غَيْرِ حَوْلٍ وَلَا قُوَّةٍ مِنِّي, without any effort and toil on my part. You arrange this food for me. You sustain in me. It is none but your mercy, O Allah. That person who recites this dua, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive this person. And then the other simple things that we learn is that a person obviously should not overeat. A person should eat from that which is close to him. We should not ever dispraise the food. If we do not like it, keep quiet. You're not forced to consume it, but don't ever mention anything against that food, because this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sustenance and it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's provision. To show disrespect to that is to show disrespect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we don't want to go down that road. Another simple thing we can bring into our life is that we should always pay compliments to the one who has prepared the food for us. This is a very, very important thing that we need to bring in our life. So whether we eat in at home or whether we eat in a restaurant, we should always pay compliments to the one who prepared our food. And you know, very quickly on a lighter note, we should be careful too, because there was one person, 20 years he was married, not one day he ever praised his wife's cooking. Every day he'd eat the food, but not one day he praised her. So one day, one Maulana came to eat by his house, and the Maulana is having the food that his wife prepared. And he's telling the man, you know, what a wonderful meal your wife prepared. I mean, she's such a good cook. This food is so tasty. So the woman is in the kitchen nearby, she hears this, she begins crying. She begins crying so loudly that the Molana can hear. So he asked the man, tell me, bhai, is your wife okay? Why she's crying? So then the news reaches the Molana that the reason why the wife is crying, she said, 20 years I'm married, not one day he ever praised my food, and you came first time to my house the way you're praising my food. So the man felt very offended. He felt that, no, this is not right, I need to change this in my life. So he said, no, from today I'm always going to praise my wife's cooking. So the next day he comes home for supper, the wife puts the meal in front of him, and the man begins eating, and he can't stop praising the food. See, what a wonderful meal. Hey, I never tasted food like this. It's absolutely delicious, it's divine. Now she begins crying more than the day before. So he looks at her and he says, I mean, you women are confusing, man. When I never praised your food, you cried. Now I'm praising your food, you cry. So she tells him, 20 years I cooked for you, not one day you praised my food. Today the neighbor sent the food, you can't stop praising it. So sometimes you've got to be careful. But whether we're eating at home or whether we're eating out of our home, always praise the one and thank the one who has prepared our meal. Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man lam yashkur innas, lam yashkur Allah." If you have not appropriately thanked people, how will you ever be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Show your gratitude to people, you are actually showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us all tawfiq. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.